What if a life-saving therapy that currently costs $500,000 and takes weeks to create for a single patient could soon be mass-produced, stored in a freezer, and shipped on demand? This week, a wave of clinical data suggests that future is arriving faster than anyone predicted. The era of personalized, bespoke cell therapy may be ending, and the era of industrial-scale regenerative medicine is about to begin. For Western companies, this isn't just a medical story, it's a manufacturing revolution. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, the weekly briefing for leaders in US and European industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a fundamental shift in one of the most advanced sectors of medicine, cell and gene therapy. We're seeing a critical mass of clinical and manufacturing news that points to the industrialization of these treatments. We'll be analyzing the technology, the emerging supply chain, and the new regulatory landscape. Troy, the core theme seems to be moving from bespoke to off the shelf. What does that mean, and why is this the week it all crystallized?
It's the difference between a custom-tailored suit and one you buy off the rack. Until now, the most successful CAR T-cell therapies were autologous, made from a patient's own cells. It's a complex, expensive, and slow process for one person. The new approach is allogeneic, using cells from healthy donors to create large batches of a therapy that can treat many patients. This week, we saw multiple companies prove this model isn't just viable, it might be superior.
Superior is a strong word. What's the evidence?
The most striking data came from Caribou Biosciences on June 11th. Their off-the-shelf CAR T therapy, Vispa-cel, showed a median progression-free survival of 17.1 months in a phase 1 trial for non-Hodgkin lymphoma. That surpasses the 14.8 and 14.9 months reported for two of the leading approved autologous therapies, Breyanzi and Yescarta. This is the first time an allogeneic product has demonstrated potentially superior efficacy in a direct comparison.
So an off-the-shelf product is outperforming the custom-made ones. What does this mean for US and European biotech manufacturers who've invested heavily in the autologous model?
It's a significant competitive threat. The entire manufacturing paradigm is being challenged. Companies like Cellectis, which just received an FDA RMAT designation for its allogeneic candidate Lasmicel, are now on an accelerated pathway. For manufacturers, this means the core competency is shifting from managing complex single-patient logistics to mastering scalable, consistent GMP-compliant bioreactor production.
And for trading companies and distributors, this sounds like a completely different product to handle.
Exactly. Instead of coordinating a live cell supply chain from a patient to a lab and back, they'll be dealing with cryopreserved vials. The key challenge becomes cold chain logistics at scale. Think ultra-low temperature storage and distribution. Sourcing partnerships will shift from specialized clinical centers to large-scale biomanufacturing hubs.
So what's the actionable insight here for executives?
If you're in the autologous space, you need to urgently evaluate your manufacturing costs and timelines against these emerging allogeneic benchmarks. If you're an investor or potential partner, the focus should be on companies that have not only strong clinical data, but also a clear, scalable manufacturing process. The competitive advantage is moving from the clinic to the factory floor.
That brings up a critical point, Troy. A manufacturing revolution requires revolutionaries with deep pockets and industrial expertise. Are we seeing the big players make their moves?
We are, and it's a global race. On June 8th, Fujifilm Cellular Dynamics, a Japanese company, opened a massive new headquarters and iPSC manufacturing facility in Madison, Wisconsin. They are quadrupling their capacity to produce induced pluripotent stem cells, which are the foundational raw material for many of these off-the-shelf therapies.
A Japanese industrial giant quadrupling its cell manufacturing capacity in the U.S. What does that signal to European and American firms?
It signals that the production of therapeutic cells is now an industrial-scale enterprise, not a laboratory process. For U.S. and European manufacturers, this is both a threat and an opportunity. Fujifilm is a competitor, but they are also a potential supplier and partner. They are building a critical piece of the supply chain on U.S. soil. This creates opportunities for local equipment suppliers, logistics providers, and quality control specialists.
And this goes beyond just making the cells, right? I saw news from Alchemy Corporation.
Yes, on June 9th, Alchemy, a U.S.-based CDMO, or contract manufacturer, acquired CHOPAC, a European packaging specialist. The stated goal was to bolster their supply chain for cell and gene therapies. This is the downstream part of the process, packaging, serialization, and complex temperature control distribution. It shows that the entire value chain is maturing.
So what should a European trading company or a U.S. distributor be thinking when they see these moves?
They need to be assessing their cold chain capabilities immediately. We're talking about cryopreservation and ultra-low temperature shipping for finished goods. This isn't standard pharmaceutical logistics. Partnerships with specialized providers like the newly expanded Alchemy will be critical. Market timing is key. The infrastructure needs to be built now to capture the business when these therapies get full approval in the next 24 to 36 months.
So the actionable advice for an executive in, say, the chemical or equipment manufacturing sector?
Look at the needs of these new cell factories. They require bioreactors, specialized culture media, and advanced filtration systems, all under stringent GMP standards. This is a high-margin, high-growth market. For logistics executives, the action is to invest and validate cryogenic supply chain solutions. The company that can guarantee the integrity of a product from a factory in Wisconsin to a hospital in Germany will win.
This all sounds like it's moving incredibly fast. Is the regulatory environment keeping up? Can companies actually get these products to market any quicker?
That's the other critical part of this week's news. On June 8th, the U.S. FDA released new draft guidance specifically to accelerate cell and gene therapy development. The core concept is allowing companies to leverage prior knowledge from similar products or platform technologies.
Prior knowledge sounds like regulatory jargon. What does it mean in practice for a company developing a new therapy?
It means they don't have to reinvent the wheel every single time. For example, if a company is using a well-characterized viral vector or iPSC line that has been used before, they can reference existing manufacturing and safety data instead of generating it all from scratch. This dramatically reduces redundant studies, cutting down both time and cost to get into clinical trials. It's a clear signal that the FDA wants to streamline the path to approval, especially for rare diseases.
So this directly helps U.S. companies. How does this affect European manufacturers trying to enter the U.S. market?
It makes a U.S.-based regulatory strategy even more attractive. For European firms, understanding and aligning with this guidance early is crucial. It also highlights the importance of the underlying technology platforms. Companies like Japan's ReproCell, which on June 4th announced a method to create hypoimmune iPSCs using AI-designed CRISPR, are building exactly these kinds of platforms. They're creating universal donor cells that are less likely to be rejected by a patient's immune system.
So a Japanese company develops the universal cell, which gets manufactured at scale in a U.S. facility owned by another Japanese firm and gets fast-tracked by the FDA. What should a Western trading company focus on here?
They should focus on becoming the indispensable transatlantic bridge. Sourcing these platform technologies, like ReproCell's hypoimmune cells, for U.S. and European developers is a massive opportunity. The market timing is now. These platforms are just maturing, and exclusive licensing or distribution deals could be incredibly valuable.
And the final actionable insight for our listeners?
Executives need to assign a team to map this new regulatory landscape immediately. The prior knowledge guidance creates a new set of strategic options. Choosing the right foundational technology platform, one with a strong existing data package, could shorten your time to market by years. This is no longer just a scientific decision. It is a critical commercial and strategic one.
Okay, Troy, a lot to process this week. Let's distill it down. What is the strategic summary for our listeners in U.S. and European industry?
I see three key takeaways. First, the cell therapy industry has reached an inflection point. The allogeneic or off-the-shelf model is no longer theoretical. Clinical data, like Caribou's, shows it can be superior to the established, personalized autologous model. The era of industrial-scale production has begun.
Second,
the competitive battleground is decisively shifting from pure clinical discovery to manufacturing and supply chain excellence. Major investments by industrial players like Fujifilm and strategic acquisitions by CDMOs like Alchemy prove that the ability to produce these therapies at scale with high quality and a robust cold chain is now the primary driver of value.
And the final, most critical takeaway?
The regulatory environment, particularly in the U.S., is actively adapting to accelerate this shift. The FDA's new guidance on leveraging prior knowledge creates a significant advantage for companies with smart platform strategies. For U.S. and European executives, the message is clear. The technology is global, the manufacturing scale-up is happening now, and the regulators are opening the door.
Speed, scale, and strategic partnerships are the keys to winning in this new landscape.
A powerful summary of a transformative week. That's all the time we have. Thank you for the intelligence, Troy.
My pleasure, Susie.
Join us next week for Troy Technical Intelligence, where we'll be analyzing the latest developments in advanced materials and their impact on the aerospace and defense sectors. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a briefing. Until then, I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. Thank you for listening.